This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
So, introducing our breakfast presenter and father of four, Aaron Wright. Good morning.
Thank you.
We never get this right. So, as Katrina suggested last week, we're introducing you first today.
Oh,
to stop any complaints or problems, I'm just going straight to you. Child psychologist from Family Smart, Colette Smart. Good morning, Colette. And author of parenting blog from Mouths of Babes, Katrina Rowe.
Good morning, Erica.
Now, today we're going to talk about something that I think is very cool, and that's love languages, and particularly love languages of children. Now, if you don't know this concept, it's basically the study in how we communicate and receive love. And to briefly touch on it, which we're going to go into deeper now, but quality time, words of affirmation, touch, gifts, acts of service. Yep, they're the five as we know them. So today we're chatting about how kids take those on board. And there is a book written about it. Aaron's brought it in.
I've got the book.
So at least one person has a copy of it here. But we're going to start with Colette, our child psychologist. How can we as parents determine our kids' love languages when they're still pretty much working them out themselves? And how do we speak to them in their love languages?
Well, I have to start off by saying I'm really impressed with Aaron because I haven't even read the book. But I really do love the concept. I'm aware of the concept. And I need to just say that, first off, psychologists don't have personality tests, as it were, for children. Mm. There aren't empirically developed personality tests for children because psychologists believe that children are still developing. So you can do a personality test on an adult because your whole childhood helps to determine who you are.
Yeah.
But so if we look at children in particular, we would look at traits and likes and dislikes and things like that when we want to start looking at what their love languages are. So you'd look at the differences for each child. No, every parent would know that their children are different.
Yeah.
And so what speaks to one child will speak totally different to your second or third child at home. So just being aware of what you would know as a parent anyway. It's not some fancy formula. If you sit down and think about it, you'll really start to perceive what your children's love languages are.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron, do you see that in your house? Can you see? Because you've got four children.
Yeah.
So you're going to have four little personalities to sort of navigate through. What can you see emerging already?
Well, it's funny that because absolutely, they're too young. But saying that, I'll run through my kids. I think it's Lara. I think she's a quality time girl. She's six, but more than words of affirmation, that's a given for kids. Acts of service.
Exactly.
Of course it is. So without a doubt, I'm going to miss one, I'm sure. Physical touch, the younger kids, Jordan and Michaela, who are the youngest, it's both of those. They're too young to know. But Miranda, she's three. It's more physical touch for her. Quality time, you spend time doing a puzzle with her. She doesn't really care.
Yeah.
But she'll want you to carry her. She'll want you to hug her all the time and all that. And so it's interesting to note my two older girls that coming out. And so I will do that for them. So Lara, I'll spend that time doing stuff. Miranda, I'll give her lots of hugs and piggybacks and carry around and stuff like that. So,
And Katrina, and Aaron, do you also hear them talking to you in their love language? Like, do they give you things or do things that,
Well, look, I was going to say that. I think it's really important in understanding how they express love because otherwise we can really be slapping them in the face without realizing
it. Absolutely,
Your little child is giving you things that they've made and seeing them in the bin the next morning when their love language.
Absolutely.
You know, you've just rejected their love offering.
Yeah.
And same if they're an act of service and they're trying to do stuff for you and you go and redo it all.
Yes, that's perfect.
But but in terms of how we express it to them, just a couple of things. I think all children need all the love languages. So we should, as Aaron said, of course acts of service. If you're not doing stuff for your kids, there's something
wrong. Yeah.
And they all need physical touch. They need them all. But also kids are they're far more disinhibited than adults. So they usually ask for what they need when they're little. So if they're always asking for cuddles or always asking you to play with them or always asking you to do stuff for them, before you turn around and say, hey, would your last slave die off? it might be worth thinking that they could give you a clue. And then the other thing I was just going to say is that a really helpful way to identify primary love languages, if you can, is through what hurts them because it's the opposite would be the most powerful way of hurting them. So, for example, I'm a quality time person, and so the thing that hurts me is being ignored or overlooked or snobbed or whatever. And so if your child's love language is words of affirmation, then he or she is going to be really, really hurt by criticism or teasing. So take note of what upsets your child, and that might be a clue as to their love language
fantastic.
As well.
I love it already. We're off and running on our panel today. We'll be right back in just a moment. All right, I am here with Aaron Wright, Colette Smart and Katrina Rowe, and this is our weekly panel, Just Saying, and today we're talking about kids' love languages. And Colette, we've already talked about receiving and giving of love. How do the kids, do you think, kind of respond when we speak in their love language?
Well, I loved what Katrina said before the break. It's not rocket science. Mm, it's quite easy to pick up by the way your children respond to you. And I particularly like Katrina when you said looking at what upsets them the most, because then you can tell where you've hurt them and that could particularly be their love language. And so it's about being creative as a parent. And I think I love things like, I heard a friend of mine, she calls it a love bomb day, where she obviously, if you've got three kids or four kids or however many kids, it's difficult to spend quality time with each kid every single day. But if you even once a term have this love bomb day where you just spend the days particularly with that child or doing things for that child, and then just small things during the day or during your week where sometimes what I'll do with my husband is say, oh, can I please take my daughter to the shop and just keep the two boys, and she'll come shopping with me and we'll spend a lot of time chatting. She loves just chatting. So and then we might just stop for a quick milkshake on the way back. So just being creative, finding times during your busyness to speak your child's language.
And also too, because they are so individual. Like Aaron was saying, he has four children and they've all got different. I've got two children. My eldest, I think, would almost be gifts at this stage. Every time I'm out past her bedtime, I wake up in the morning and she's wrapped something up. And it says, to mummy, I love you so much. And inside has to be a gift. That's her. But my little boy is so touch. It's just cuddles and kisses all the time. I guess there's ages as well. So he's 3.5, so he wants to be close to mummy, but it's just such a beautiful thing to watch them evolving as well in finding their languages. And Aaron, with your four, how do you and Larissa go at sort of not meeting the need, but you know what I mean, like being available for those moments for each of the different ones?
But well, that's a hard thing, isn't it? When you've got to look after one, or you've got to put washing out, and you don't have time to do other stuff. Really tough. But the other ways with, and as Katrina said, to the opposite, the continuation, I guess, of what I was saying too, the accepting their love. So when they do that picture for you to add to the million other pictures you've got, or they
Isn't
make you that sand pie or whatever. Here's a cupcake for your daddy.
Aren't you going to eat it?
It's that kind of stuff. So I think you don't always have to show it. I mean, you are anyway, but receiving it is just as important. I agree 100%.
Can I just say also, I think even when you know their love language, there's different ways that individuals will want to receive it. So, for example, my daughter, she needs physical touch, but she does not like to be kissed. So for her, rubbing her back as she falls asleep or holding her hand or letting her sit on a lap while we're watching a movie is meaningful. And so I guess just because your child doesn't want to dig a vegetable garden with you or wash the car doesn't mean they're not still craving quality time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to do it in a way that is meaningful to them.
And I think I worry a bit about that quality versus quantity. People go, oh, it's quality time, not quantity time. But that is true. I agree with that. But children still do need a fair amount of your time.
Yes.
I've heard some parents say, oh, well, our time is, you know, on the way to sport and we just chat one-on-one and that's the time. And I'm thinking, well, that's 5 minutes up the road. And if that's all you're giving your child all week, that's problematic. So they do need some quantity. And then things like, actually, with little children, bending down and looking them in the eyes and showing an interest when they're talking or when they want to give you their cupcake or their painting or whatever, really looking at them and showing that you're hearing what they say.
Yep.
And if you can't, if you're really busy, say, I will get back to you later and then make sure that you do.
Well, the thing too is that we all have jobs to do, as Aaron's saying, you've got to put out the washing and stuff like that. But I even find with my eldest, she'll just want to sometimes just be a part of the normal everyday routine. It doesn't have to necessarily be a set aside time, but to invite them into what you're already doing can be a way of speaking their language. Mind you, she did use it as an excuse. Recently, I said, it's time for bed. She said, no, I need to stay up and practice being a mummy with you. And I said, well, mummy's cleaning the house. She said, okay. So she did. She stayed and cleaned, because I wasn't going to say, all right, well, let's play Polly Pockets. we stayed up and she did what I did, but she just wanted to be with me. So that was cool. Yeah. We actually got to do that together. So any advice as we finish up, Colette, for parents, sort of in identifying them or what the signs to look out for?
I think it's important. What children are really wanting is to feel valued by you. That's the main thing. And they feel that you communicate with them through their love language. Mm. So they feel loved. They feel significant in the world or in your world. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they need to feel like they're the center of attention, but they do need to feel that in some ways they are the center of their parents' attention. If you're not going to love them, nobody else is going to love them more than you than you do. And so as parents, we've got to be creative. It's our job. We can't just go, oh, my son just never communicates and I've just written him off. It's too hard.
Yeah.
You are the parent. It is your responsibility to draw your child out and find out what they love.
Perfect. Mm. Thank you so much. Thank you, Katrina and Colette and Aaron, as always. And we'll catch up next week.
Mm, great.
Done.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.